Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the uncaused initiator of the first cause, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all his noble messengers, including the last of them all, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic requested was continuity and vigour. How do we keep motivated during such times and such periods such as the month of Ramadan? And the answer to that is always to understand the purpose. The purpose not only of these acts of worship, but also of the purpose of life. The acts of worship and the purpose of life is important to understand in order to keep motivated. If you don't know what you're doing something for, how can you keep yourself motivated? Really, if you've got no understanding, we're told to stay hungry, to abstain from water, sexual reproduction, that's what we're told, that's what we'll do. How do you keep yourself motivated in such an instance? You cannot. So to truly keep yourself motivated and inspired, you need to understand why it is God Almighty is asking us to do what He does. And in chapter 51, verse 56, we all know this, we all hear it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We understand that, we are taught that often, that God Almighty did not create the jinn and the human beings except to worship Him. And that's where we end. That's where it ends. Usually when we are taught about the purpose of life. But let's read the next section of that. He does not need any risk from anybody. That's the continuity of that verse. That He did not create the human beings and jinn except to worship Him, but know that He does not need anything from you. One of the definitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is independent of all things, yet all things in creation, everything in the heavens and the earth down to the atom is dependent on Him. So your acts of worship, therefore, has got nothing to do with my betterment whatsoever. That's the first thing you have to understand. Another verse in the Quran which you probably haven't heard of, which relates to the purpose of life, is in chapter 11, verse 119, I believe. I haven't written it down. Chapter 11, verse 119, where God Almighty states that He could have created humanity as one nation. Look at this. He could have created humanity in one nation, meaning He could have forced this upon us. But had He done that, He would have created us all as believers. But that is not what the purpose of life is. He's telling us that He has created these different nations and tribes. He has given us free will. To a certain degree, we have free will. Some things we don't have control over. For example, do you have control over the time in which you enter this world? Did somebody come and ask you, when would you like to enter this earth? 1978? 1984? Do you want to be a Pakistani? Or a Turk? Or an Arab? Is that part of free will? No. That's number one. Number two, you don't have a choice in which or wherein you leave this world. This is part of divine qadr. Qadr, the word, if you analyze it, can also mean something that pertains to measurement. Everything in the heavens and the earth is based on precision and a certain measurement. When you enter this world and when you leave this world, who you marry, your offspring, is all part of this destiny. I can choose to come to this lecture or not. That's part of my free will. I can choose to take one path to my destination or another path to my destination. Allah creates our destinies, we are told. So people assume, oh, He makes us do things. Therefore, how can He hold us accountable? No. You can choose which path to take, but Allah creates the reality for you to take that path. Without Allah creating that reality, you can't take that path. That's what it means by He creates your destiny. Multiple, infinite number of choices that you can make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the possibility for you to take one of those paths. That's what it means. So we have to understand the purpose of life is, number one, that He created the jinns and the human beings except for nothing except to worship Him. Some people, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, some of the scholars have interpreted this also to mean, You alone we adore. You alone we adore and You alone we ask for help. In conjunction with You alone we worship and You alone we ask for help. You have to understand, Arabic language is not as simplistic as we make it out to be, especially when we look at translations. And we'll get through some of that inshallah. So here in chapter 11, verse 119, God Almighty is telling you, I could have made you into one nation, but I didn't. I gave you free will. Why? He tells you the purpose. Because I want my mercy to be bestowed upon those who choose to follow my commandments. To choose, those who choose to submit, as everything else in the creation, in the heavens and the earth submits, outside a few species. So this is one of the purposes of life, so that His mercy, look at this, His mercy can grace those individuals who recognize the true and ultimate reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the transparency in this world between causes and Allah is prominent. It's clear. There's nothing blocking your vision to the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate reality, and we are but a reflection of that reality. So He's saying the purpose of life, chapter 11, verse 119. Here again, is so that those people who willingly, of their own volition, accept and embrace the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and our sustainer, my mercy can be brought down upon such people. It's another purpose of life, as found in the Quran. It's interesting, not a lot of us hear about that. Isn't it? Worship. That's it. Worship. What does it mean? Well, it doesn't matter. Worship. Robotic automatons. That's what we need to be. We end up praying, but we pray based on what is illustrated in Surah Al-Ma'un. Beware of that. Study that surah. It talks about these people that pray, but they are neglectful in their prayers, and that prayer ends up slapping them in the face. Study it. Look at the tafsir of this surah. Its importance. So, sorry, the writing here is very small, so looking at my notes is going to be a bit difficult. So bear with me, inshallah. We all have a choice in believing as well. Well, part of the rahmah is you have a choice. In chapter 18, God Almighty says, I believe in verse 29, God Almighty says that this is the truth from Allah in the Quran. This is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is the truth. If you want to believe, it's up to you. If you don't want to believe, it's up to you. But this is haqiqah. This is the truth. This is the purpose of creation, that you recognize this as truth. So if you want that rahmah to be bestowed upon you, then understand and embrace and believe in it. But if you don't want to, don't. It's up to you. So in this world we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice as to whether or not we believe or we don't believe. My question to you is, in the hereafter, do we have a choice as to whether we enter heaven or hell? Is he going to say, Brother Adam, what would you like? The warm embrace of hellfire or the cool breeze of heaven, Jannah? What would you like? I could throw in a blonde joke here, but I won't. Oh, a suntan in hellfire. No. Is that what's going to happen? Are you going to be asked on that day, do you want, my friend, do you want to enter heaven or hellfire? What would you like? Don't be fooled. just because, and that's what Shaitan tries to do, and I'm going to go into Shaitan's strategies and how he tries to demotivate you during these times where you have the greatest opportunity, and that demotivation occurs throughout the year. Your spiritual energy is depleted. So you've got an invigoration at the start of Ramadan, but because you haven't exercised your spirituality at all, you burn out. You burn out. That's why Taraweeh on the first couple of nights, full house. Alhamdulillah. Towards the end, you've got four rows if you're lucky. Right? And even that's like nodding off, right? So we won't have a choice as to whether or not we will enter heaven or hellfire. No, you're not going to be asked that. Neither will you be asked, sister, are you ready to go to the other side? We have a few spots on Air Jannah, business class. If you're ready, I can book you in. Are you ready? Huh? No. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَعْفِرُونَ صَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَعْفِمُونَ When the time of the ajal comes, nobody, not even yourself, can delay it in the slightest. It says hour, delay it in the slightest, nor can you bring it forward, even if you wanted to commit suicide. So it stands to reason that if we don't have a choice in which we enter into this world, we don't have a choice as to when we exit this world. This is part of the divine measurement, qadr, that I was talking about. Even if you think you can commit suicide, if your ajal is not here, if this is not the appointed time of your death, you will not have the courage to commit suicide. Yeah? It's not your ajal. God doesn't want... This is not the appointed time. You think you can go and kill yourself? What are you going to do? Prove a point? Just to prove a point? No, it is in my own hands. You're going to kill yourself when really you don't want it, just to prove a point? It's like those pagans that said, well, if you're really the prophet of God, ask God Almighty to destroy us and we'll believe you. Like, how stupid is that claim? Right? Ask God to destroy us and we'll believe you. Right? It's absurd. But what do you expect from a people who used to make idols out of their fruit? Right? Like they'd get a rock melon, carve it out into an idol so that they could take it with them on their travels. This is their God that's going to protect them, right? They're carrying their God. And then halfway through they get thirsty and hungry so they eat it. You ate your God? So the purpose of life is to understand and recognize, first and foremost, that worshipping God Almighty is for your benefit. Remember the continuity of chapter 51 verse 56, is that you cannot give Him any sustenance nor feed Him. Therefore, the fact that He created you was purely for your, asked you to worship Him was purely for your benefit. Chapter 11 verse 119, write this down for those who are taking notes. Also implies the purpose of life, that you have been given free will, that Allah did not create you as one nation, forced you into belief, right? Made you one unified people, forced you into belief, because part of the purpose of life, again, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to embrace with His rahmah those people who willingly accept His religion. One of the purposes of life. Okay, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, created, was going to create the creation, He decreed that my mercy will outweigh my wrath. And heaven is so easy to get into when you think about it from a certain perspective. Hell's very expensive. And yet, many of us manage to destine ourselves to it. Heaven's cheap. You have one good intention, yeah? God Almighty writes one good reward, puts a good point against that. You act upon that intention, even if you don't act upon that intention. I plan to give $5 tomorrow to the poor, the needy. But something happens, I lose that $5, there was a bill that came up that I didn't know of and I couldn't give it. I still get a reward. I give that $5, I follow through, I get up to 10 times, sorry, at the least 10 times, up to 700 times, and some scholars say even more. Look at that. But if I have a bad intention, I'm going to steal $5. Does Allah want to write down a bad point? Record a bad point against that? If you have the intention to steal $5? No. What if on your way to steal that $5, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sees all and hears all, and that the rights of others will be asked for in the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come before me with any sin, don't come before me with the rights of others. beware of that. So you remember that and you refrain from stealing. Not only does he not record a bad point, but he gives you a good point for refraining. SubhanAllah, look how cheap heaven is, and yet for some reason we want to go for the expensive. It's like, you know, we're used to materialism. We want to go for the expensive brands. It's made from the same thing. We want to go for the expensive brand for some reason. So, I hate the screensaver on these things. How do we get motivation? How can we link this to the above statements? Purpose of life is to worship Allah. The purpose of life is to adore Allah. The purpose of life is to beware of your Creator. The purpose of life is to willingly accept the fact that He is your Creator so that the mercy of Allah can be bestowed upon you. Now, how does it benefit us? Allah SWT says in Surah Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe. Oh, sorry. O you humanity. He uses nasi, which is very important. He doesn't say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He says, O you humanity. It is better for you to worship your Creator. Right? It is better for you to worship your Creator. Why? The ultimate reason that he gives at the end of the verse is so that you may become a people of taqwa. If you understand the root word taqi, you can extrapolate many meanings from that. One of which is consciousness of God, being mindful of God. Fearing God Almighty in terms of if you do bad deeds, you will be taken to account for those bad deeds. Right? If you do an injustice to somebody, you'll be taken to account for that injustice. But it can also mean learning restraint. We can also extrapolate this. Or warding off evil. We can also extrapolate this. So what's the purpose here? Humanity, it is better for you to worship God Almighty. Why? So that you can help to ward off. It can help you to ward off evil. It can help teach you restraint. It can help make you mindful of your Creator. To call to mind your Creator. Again, something that is relevant to this month, which is fasting. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe now, because now this is a subset of the overall requirement of worship. O you who believe, fast during the month of Ramadan. Because fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you. You'll find that almost every religion incorporates this act of worship, fasting, in different forms. So it's very important. Why? What's the end result? Again, we are told. Same words used. What is it? Is it so Allah becomes stronger? Not sure. Right? Like the Aztec gods, more worshippers, the stronger he becomes? No. Tells you so that you can learn to be a people that can refrain from evil. Steer clear of evil. Steer clear of mischief. Call to mind your Creator. Become a godly people. Taqi. Become a godly people. This is the purpose. You have to understand the purpose in order to be motivated. That this is for my own benefit. Right? These are tools that Allah SWT has given us out of His own mercy and His grace, in order to enable us to become better people. Because the reality is we have an ego. We have a nafs. That ego is always trying to make us follow our desires, our greed, our lust, our hunger for power, etc. We might not have any questions at the end. If there is a question, an important question, you can interrupt me and ask, so long as if we can try and keep it relevant to the discussion. So, the ultimate purpose is to allow us to follow everything else that the heavens and the earth follows, that universal governing law of the cosmos. Right? Everything in the universe follows a divine law. And in order to have tranquility both within and without, with the creation around us, we need to be able to submit willingly to that governing law. Only then can humanity have inner and outer peace. Inner and outer peace. It's important to reconcile both of these. Without that, we live a life of turmoil. Look at what's happening around us today, which I'll go into briefly. refuge, O Lord. So success comes from consciousness of God, conformity to the divine law, gratitude, patience, and humility. All of which, in particular patience, in particular gratitude, in particular humility, can be obtained from this blessed month. You're fasting, you're abstaining from food and water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made it so that you never eat. And this builds within you some gratitude, doesn't it? It also builds within you some humility. You know, there's that tradition, that story, if I remember correctly, about the nafs, where God Almighty asks, who are you and who am I? The nafs says, I am me and you are you. And so then what he does is he puts that nafs into hellfire and he says, who are you and who am I? And the nafs is burning. I am you and you, I am me and you are you. What? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refrains or prevents sustenance to that nafs. Huh? No sustenance for you. Then the nafs realizes, you are my sustaining creator. You are the one that looks after me. You are the one that provides for me. And I am but your humble servant. Without you, I am nothing. So we learn this humility in the month of Ramadan. Remember, now again, we must also call to mind that who is our greatest enemy? Is it George Bush? Who is our greatest enemy? Huh?
Shaitan.
External enemy. Shaitan, isn't it? What does Shaitan do? In chapter 7, verse 12, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He says, I am greater than humanity. I am greater than him. Why? Look, it's obvious why. You created me from fire, majestic fire. What did you create him from? Mud. Muck. Why should I bow to him? Look at the deduction. Two things we learn from here that are important. Number one, that you never use your own deduction or your own judgment to try and ascertain whether or not you are better than somebody. Never do that. See, somebody may pray and he may skip some of the prayers and try and make up for it. And somebody may not fast as often. Somebody may have a few slip ups here and there. And you go to that person and you say, do you know that you're doing this? You know, friendly one, nicely. You know, can I help you to try and get your prayers up to scratch? On time, all the time. And you know what he says? He puts his, first thing he'll do, or she will do, put their head down in humility and shame, and say, you know, I wish I had a stronger will. Inshallah, God Almighty will give me that will. I feel really bad about it. And they even shed a tear. That's a jackpot. That's what God Almighty loves. The person who prays constantly, the person who fasts, the person who appears to have been very righteous in the eyes of the community, if they are doing it by embodying riya, that person can't be forgiven. Can the first person be forgiven? Can the first person be forgiven? Yes. Can the second person? No. No forgiveness for riya. That is akin to minor shirk. You're doing things to please other people, not your creator. So when you go to your creator for your rewards, he goes, why are you asking me for the rewards? Had you done it for me, I'd gladly give them to you. You didn't do it for me. You did it to impress Aisha, or Ahmed, or Adam. Huh? Go to them. Zakhira. Go to them now and see if they can benefit you. So never be judgmental. That's what Satan did. That was a mistake he made. He assumed, you know, he's the most devout worshipper of Allah. He is made from fire. Why should I bow down to this? He's not even proven himself yet. Deduction. It seems clear to him, doesn't it? It seems clear to us. I pray on time, five times a day. That guy doesn't really do it as much. Not that I can tell anyway. And so we become judgmental. That's why the scholars say, you need greater forbearance in the obedience of God than you do need in the disobedience of God. because obedience of God can bring about arrogance and you won't even notice it. A judgmental nature. So, the mistake you made, that's number one mistake. Number two, what we learned from this, the first thing we learned was that. The second thing that we learned from this is, never be so sure of yourself. Satan was a devout worshipper of Allah, wasn't he? He became one of those who were the most devout worshippers to the accursed one. So always have that humility within you. Always understand that you always rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never be overconfident. Never be judgmental. And if you are in good health, if you do have sound iman and high spirituality, always be grateful for that. Always thank Allah for that, not your own doings. And know that regardless of how much you worship Allah, you could worship Him day and night. It does not justify, it is not enough for what He has done for you. Even if you were to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, if you were to fast every second day, if you were to give every bit of your charity bar what you need to survive, it still is not enough to honor His greatness. And one thing I say to people is eyesight, the gift of eyesight. What's that worth? Huh? How hard would you work in your life to keep your eyesight? Just your eyesight. Forget about all the other faculties and all the other things. So we need to have that humility within us. So what happens now? Satan says in verse 17 of this chapter, he gives his purpose, his agenda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exposing not only his strategies to us, but also telling us some of his end goals, what he is striving to achieve. What does he say? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He says to Allah, you've disgraced me. I've been dishonored. Give me respite. Wasn't that boring, sister? Give me respite until the day of judgment. Then he says, I will attack them from before them. This is our arch enemy. I will attack from before them, from behind them, from their right flanks and from their left flanks. Until what? What I just quoted? Until you will not find amongst them many who are grateful. So one of the agendas, the purposes of shaitan is what? To create a people who are ungrateful. This is one of the strategies, this is one of the agendas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes of shaitan, gives us, provides for us. So we need to create counter strategies for that. And in order to create counter strategies for that, we have to understand or recognize first and foremost what God Almighty tells us to do in order to deflect from His or protect ourselves from His onslaught. From the front, from the back, from the right, from the left. Continuous onslaught from all directions. And how do you protect yourself? How do you protect yourself from an unseen enemy? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. This is so important. You want the one, you can't see Satan. So you're asking for protection from the one he can't see. To your own devices, you've got no hope. Allah has allowed for you to learn how to defend yourself against Satan. But always, always invoking his name and asking for his help. And always, constantly. Okay? And this is what Ramadan is about. To remind yourself about that. Throughout the day, from sunrise to sunset, you're abstaining. Normally your natural disposition when you're hungry is to go and satisfy that hunger. When you're thirsty is to go and quench that thirst. And that happens throughout the day. Right? That's your natural disposition. But why do you prevent yourself? You call to mind that you're fasting. Why are you fasting? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to. Why did He ask you to? Because it is good for me. So constantly throughout the day, you're thinking of your Lord. Right? God consciousness is the key to life. Being mindful of your Creator. So then, What happens to the devil? He is cast out. Verse 13. He's cast out of heaven. Why? Anybody know why he's cast out of heaven? What the verses actually say? فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبِّرْ فِيهَا فَخْرُجْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Satan, you have no place to be arrogant here, in this abode, in this higher plane of existence. There's no place for arrogance. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about those people who have pride, an ounce of pride, arrogance, are barred from heaven. You have no, there's no place for your arrogance and pride here. Fakhruj, get out, leave. So, Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, what does it do? It builds within us a state of humility. We become humble. We realize that Allah is our sustainer. Yes, we are refraining from sunrise to sunset, but it could have been that Allah created such a scarcity that we don't eat for weeks. It was out of the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have this opportunity. We should be thankful. And Allah provided for the world more than enough resources for everybody to have enough food. Alas, alas, that a few greedy people in the world, a few elitists that are hungry for power and money, manipulate certain warmongers, manipulate circumstances, hoard these resources, so that the majority of humanity is in poverty. We should be ashamed as a human species that we've allowed this to come to fruition. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided more than enough for everybody. Okay. So, in order to motivate us yet again, we can turn to the Quran, chapter 100. Surah Al-Adiyah. And this is the chapter which talks about those that run. And it is referred to predominantly by the scholars to the steeds, right? Horses. And I'll read it out to you, the translation. By the steeds that run with panting breath and spark strikes of fire and push home the charge in the morning and raise the dust in clouds all the while and penetrate forthwith into the midst of the foe and massacre. Truly, man is to his Lord ungrateful. Look at this. God Almighty is talking about war horses that are charging into the midst of a battle. And he talks about the honor, the panting. Right? And he talks about the cloud being raised behind the galloping horses. Then he says, and they rush forthwith into the right into the midst of the enemy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, but man is truly ungrateful. How do we tie these two? And how do we relate it to our topic, continuity and vigor, which requires some level of loyalty, a great level of loyalty. But even the horse, its master on the physical plane is who? Its rider. It is marching towards where? A dangerous environment. Horse knows that it's entering a dangerous environment. Does it steer away from its course? Or does it stay loyal? The continuity straight into the midst of battle. Regardless of the danger. Even a horse to its master is that loyal. There is continuity there, straight through into the midst of the foe. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what of humanity? What of the loyalty of humanity who I have endowed with an intellect and a capacity to understand, hearts that understand? How disloyal are you? Even a horse, look what it does in the face of danger even. Look at a dog to its master. A dog, how loyal it is to its master. And yet its capacity to comprehend what its master does for it is nothing. All it knows is the master gives it some food and water. Yet we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only gave us food and water, but gave us the ability to exist, gave us sentience, consciousness, intellect, a faculty to understand and comprehend. And yet look how unloyal we are. So we have to remember these types of chapters of the Quran. We have to integrate them into our lives. And it is only with this type of understanding can you allow yourself to have such a level of continuity. Can you remain motivated? You need to know why you're doing this. You need to know the danger of shaitan. You need to know the devil's strategies. You don't know the strategies, how can you build upon counter strategies? Or how can you build counter strategies? You cannot. Look at creation around you, reflect, and understand. I probably won't have enough time to go through this. The month of Ramadan, another motivating factor is the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, meaning the month in which we were exposed to elements in reality that we could not have been exposed to, unlocking the mysteries of the heavens and the earth. You would not know what happens at the time of death had it not been for this book and previous revelations. You would not know about the dimension of the grave. You would not know that the angels come and question you. You would not know about the resurrection. You would not know about the gathering. You would not know about the judgment. You would not know about heaven and hell. You would not know about many things in the realm of eschatology. That this month was the month in which this miracle was revealed to humanity that allows us to peer into this unseen realm. To look beyond that which science can look into. Because science can only look into its own nature. It can't see beyond its own nature. It cannot see beyond the physical realm, regardless of how powerful the telescopes are. Right? It's only through revelation can we peer into this unseen dimension. And recognize that this is the month of the Quran. This is the month, in other words, of salvation. Right? Without which we would not know about salvation. Any questions so far? The last thing, no questions. Last thing I want to talk about is Ihsan. What was Ihsan? Anybody know? Worship Allah as though you see Him, and if you see Him not, know that He sees you. Months like the month of Ramadan allows you to build this transparency between the physical world and that which lies behind it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How so? We talked about the purpose of worship. We talked about the purpose of life. We talked about the elevation of God consciousness. Yeah? Now what happens in life is humanity tends to believe that the cause is the end result. Humanity does not see beyond the cause. If you're hungry, you eat an apple, that satiates your hunger. Therefore the apple satiated my hunger. If you're thirsty, you drink some water. Therefore that water quenches my thirst. The one who is in a state of ihsan sees beyond these direct causes, right through to the uncaused initiator of the first cause, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that created this apple. Not only created this apple, but created within you a system which is capable of benefiting from the nutrients of this apple. So therefore, when you eat this apple, you know instantly that it's not the apple, the cause itself, which has benefited you, but the creator of that cause, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when you look to the right, you look to the left, you look before, you look behind you, you see nothing but the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything comes from Him. That your good health, for example, is not because of your own doing. Ultimately, it is the capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed within you to give you the ability to have good health. Everything goes back to Him. You see a beautiful rose, you don't say, oh, that's a beautiful rose, and end there. The first thing you say is, subhanallah, to the Creator who created such beauty. Yeah? You see, beyond that direct cause, this is one form of understanding the terminology of ihsan. That these causes are not a barrier between you and your real Creator. That you see that behind all of these causes is the Creator. And then you get to a state wherein you come to a realization. And famous scholar, Yunus Emre, he said, hoştur bana senden gelen, ya gonca gül yahut diken, ya ilahut yahut kefen, kahrın da hoş, lütfun da hoş. Which means this, whatever comes from you, O Allah, whatever comes from you, O Allah, is good for me. Whether it be a vibrant, beautiful rose with a beautiful smell, if this is what you've given me, it is good for me. Or the spikes, you know, on the stems of the rose, and that causes harm. If it came from you, Allah, it is good for me. Whether it be a beautiful, elegant robe, or the kefen in which I am wrapped up in, buried in. If it came from you, it is good for me. Kahrın da hoş, lütfun da hoş, which means the trials that you bestow upon me, the difficulties that you bestow upon me, is good for me. So too is your blessings and ni'mah. Coming to that realization is very important in life. That if something comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is good for you. So, utilize these months, especially the month of Ramadan. You know, the Prophet ﷺ makes a dua wherein he says, oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to live. وَبَلِغْنَا Ramadan. Allow us to live till the month of Ramadan. Why? Why do we want to live till the month of Ramadan at least one more time? Because we understand the blessings of this month. We understand that we can utilize this month to allow us to just elevate our spirituality that one level more at the very least. It's much easier to elevate your spirituality, to bring yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make yourself conscious and mindful of the Creator. So much more readily and easily in this month than other months. That's why we make this dua. So let's benefit from it. Hence, making that dua at the start of Rajab means you need to start preparing. It's not that easy. Yet Ramadan's 2 months away. That's not preparing. You need to prepare yourself for this blessed month if you want to get the most out of it. It's up to you. Remember, you have a choice. You have a choice in this world. Do you want to embrace? You want to follow the suggestions of your Creator? It's up to you. He says this is the truth. It's up to you. But you don't have a choice as to whether you enter heaven or hell. You don't have a choice as to when you depart from this world. So, all of these things, all of these acts of worship are to allow for us to become better people, are to allow us to become more God-conscious people, are to, an analogy that I always give, is to allow us to become a beautiful tree bearing beautiful fruit. Yeah? Think of your life on this earth as a seed, which, you know, you look after, you nourish that seed to become a beautiful tree. Yeah? A beautiful tree, does such a beautiful tree deserve to be in a beautiful garden? A beautiful tree, does it deserve to be in a beautiful garden? Of course it does. Yeah, it deserves to be in Jannah. If you neglect this seed, and you neglect the growth of this tree, meaning our spirituality, and it becomes a stump, does a stump, a dead stump, deserve to be in the garden? Where does it deserve to be? What is it good for? Fuel for the fire. So, are you preparing yourself to be, and your children to be, eventually, God willing, a beautiful tree worthy of the garden, or a dead stump worthy of fuel for the fire? Bring these things, call these things to mind, and such things will, God willing, help keep you motivated. Not only in Ramadan, but post-Ramadan as well. God willing. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.